on this episode of Pottages.
Okay, the poker rap is not a rap. It's not a rap, right? They are not rapping.
Isn't every story that did you rap?
No.
That's a yeah.
I need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
All right, we gotta rap some Pokemon.
You just do the singing. I'll take care of the hard part.
Let's keep it going. Pollution is up and running. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming? My digi destiny starts today. Let me hear you say.
Electro, Diglett, Nidoran, Mankey, Venusaur, Tantive, Zero, Pinty, Z-King, Jolteon, Dragonite, Gastly, Ponyta, Vaporeon, Poliwrath, Butterfree.
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 012, MCP Pod versus the D-Train.
Poke Rap versus Digi-Rap.
Recorded March 26, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime and raps. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
The Digivolution is up and running.
And Asher Soffman.
Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming?
And Andrew Soffman.
A digi destiny starts today. Let me hear you say,
Digimon! Yeah. Great, we're done.
Great, that's it. That's the episode.
And today we're doing a special episode to celebrate that it's been 2 years since we released the first episode of Pottages on March 31st, 2014. So, yeah, we're going to dive into a thorough academic discussion of and comparative literary analysis of the Digirap and the Pokerap.
We're going to go line by line.
So I guess, yeah, in addition to a comparative literary analysis, we're actually going to go line by line, compare, you know, because these are very ripe, very rich texts that I think will yeah. really benefit from digging in as much as possible.
Yes,
I agree.
Venomoth, Poliwag, Nidorino, Golduck, Ivysaur, Viper, Vixibel, Boltres, Nidoking, Firefist, Abra, Jigglypuff, Kingler, Rhyhorn, Kefable, Wigglytuff.
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all, gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon!
Which one are we starting with?
I was going to start off with just some basic trivia that I found about the Pokerap, because there isn't really any trivia about the Digirap, I think, because less people care about it. But
unless people listen to Lost in Translation, Mon.
Did they talk about trivia about it?
No, that's the only other trivia there is.
Oh, it's used in Lost in Translation, Mon? Yeah, so it's a Pokerap trivia. So most of these are from the Bulbapedia article.
So excited.
Yeah. First bit of trivia, which I mean, it's obvious from the name of this episode that we already mentioned, but apparently it was one of the singers was James D. Train Williams, which is a great rap name.
Fantastic rap name.
Which, I mean, in comparison, the only bit of trivia I have for the Digirap is that it was one of the singers was MC Peapod, and they're great, great rap names.
They are the greatest rappers of all time.
Yeah.
Also, I guess kind of tragically, the other singer of the Digirap was Paul Gordon, who died a couple weeks ago, and that's really sad. But it's also singer of the opening and stuff. So that's sad. But on a brighter note, the Pokerap that we all know is actually the first of three. There were ones for the second and third generations as well.
It's the one true Pokerap.
Yes, the one true Pokerap. The one Pokerap to rule all Pokeraps or something? I don't know, Lord of the Rings. So there's a Japanese song that, according to Bulbapedia and other sources, people refer to as the, English fans at least refer to as the origin of this idea of the Pokerap singing thingy. And it's called Can You Name All the Pokemon? Which is a weird translation. It's really saying Pokemon Iaru Kana, like, I wonder if you can name the Pokemon. But anyway, it's a song. So apparently there are 10 verses to the song, and what they would do when it was in syndication was, I guess not just syndication, but also when they aired it originally, was that they would split the song into two verses each, so five different chunks, and then, so like, you would, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday slots, you would actually get the whole song over the course of the week.
I remember this.
I remember that.
I didn't remember, like, I remember there were different ones each episode, but I didn't remember that it was like, you know, Monday through Friday, it was a whole song. Like, such a cool use of syndication. That's so clever and strategic. And
but like the only line I end up remembering is the one where they try to do weird like acts, like not accents, but like imitate the Pokemon almost. Like they're like, I'm in like Wartortle. Like,
that's the last one.
Slowpoke. Like, It's the only one made an impression in my mind.
But apparently when they were airing, when they were swing those into the Monday through Friday slots, they actually did it based on the Japanese airing. So there were the episodes that were cut in the English version. They just like, so like, they're supposed to be like the Thursday part of the song would air on Wednesday because they just like skipped an episode and stuff like that. And so it eventually got out of sync and kind of funny reason.
And then a bunch of episodes got cut.
Yeah. So I think eventually it got synced up again.
Because, you know, 9/11 and, you know, Tentacruel destroying buildings. That happened.
Nobody's allowed to destroy buildings in American media anymore,
except in the opening. They kept it in somehow.
And also Mew was the only first generation Pokemon not included because they hadn't announced Mew when they made the song. It's kind of weird to look back on.
Well, there are 150 and more to see.
Which is odd because he's in the opening. Well, Togepi was also in season one.
Well, yeah, but they made the opening before they, you know, finished season one. So the last bit of trivia I had was that for a Kids WB promo, they had a verse sung by NSYNC.
Oh my gosh. Where is that? Somebody find that for me. Oh man.
All I could find is I could find other clips from that same promo. Like, I guess it was like a, you know, like a weekend, like one block of Kids WB. They were like, NSYNC will do all these commercials.
Why has the internet not saved this?
I don't know, but you can find other, if you look for like NSYNC Kids WB, you can find other, them interacting with other Kids WB characters and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And it's as terrible as you expect.
I think I remember that.
I do not. And I'm glad.
Okay, can I throw something down? Okay, the poker rap is not a rap. It's not a rap, right? They are not rapping.
It's a song, and like when they list the Pokemon, aren't they rapping?
They're just kind of listing Pokemon.
Okay, yeah. So what is the definition of a rap?
I mean, you're getting into...
Please don't do this.
Hard territory if you're defining any music genre, really. But Ashley, I guess you are the music expert of the four of us.
I mean, I just feel like...
Wait, hold on.
There has to be...
Wikipedia defines it as a rhythmic and rhyming speech that is chanted.
Yeah, that's not at all what happens. It doesn't rhyme. The singing is not like... I feel like the beat should be defined by how they say things, which is not what is happening. He's just following the melody in the other parts that are not words. That are not Pokemon names, is what I meant. Obviously, they're words. So, therefore, it's not a rap.
So does Digirap fit into your definition of rap?
The Digirap is a rap. Good on you, Digirap.
All right, well, that's one comparison right there.
Yeah. So, Ashley, you're saying if you take a melody and you just, like, rap, you can't rap to a given melody that already exists?
I don't think that's how rap normally works, no. Like, rap, like, your voice should be more the beat than the background track, is how I've always seen it.
Well, Polgarap defined rap for me, so by that definition.
Oh, yeah?
By that circular logic, it is a rap.
I mean, the Dizzy rap is definitely much more of a rap than the poker rap, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So I have some thoughts about the text itself, the lyrics. And
wow, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, the poker rap is all about potential, you know, about, like, becoming your best self and whatever and growing and stuff.
Okay.
But it's also kind of about domination and colonialization. I mean, to beat the rest, yeah, that's my cause. Like, beating other people, and I'll search across the land far and wide. Like, it's, you know, I'm going to go dominate the world and, like, conquer everything. Like, it's not really a great message.
Okay. How about the Digirap? Is the Digirap a great message?
The Digirap, I feel like Digirap doesn't have a message.
It does.
No. The Digirap totally has a message.
It has a message. You're about to watch a goddamn movie about Digimon.
That is one of the messages.
That's actually, yeah, that is the message. It's Digimon's making a scene. They're kicking it up. Kick it up to the big screen.
The big screen.
Yeah.
No, but, like, literally every single lyric is, you're about to watch a movie.
No, not really.
No,
you're oversimplifying. oversimplifying it.
Yeah, you're oversimplifying.
I don't think it's just about like, oh, there's a movie that's about to happen. It's about like, it's kind of trying to be about the whole phenomenon. They're trying to make it into a phenomenon, I guess. They're like, it's like Digimon is happening. You need to be a part of Digimon. It's about FOMO. It's about like Digimon's happening. You must be a part of Digimon.
It's about FOMO.
It's about what?
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh.
It's basically trying to pressure you to be like, you don't want to miss Digimon, do you? It's so cool. Everyone's talking about it.
No, but it has a narrative in it. It's like the Digi world is Digi safe, and now we'll meet in Digi fate. Like, Digimon will protect what's right. We'll have to Digi fight.
But what does meet in Digi fate even mean? Like, that doesn't...
It means fight with Digimon.
I know. It doesn't... They needed it to rhyme because this is rap. Like... I save the world from a digi disaster. Like, there's a narrative there. Okay, guys, whatever.
Like, I think it's more a call to arms than it is a narrative.
Yes.
Perhaps. My feelings are that the poker app is, you know, it's like the Odyssey. It is, you know, verbal storytelling that has ensured that an entire generation will remember all the Pokemon names.
Well, that's not...
But it's... stripped all storytelling. It was just like, here's just a list of names.
yes. It's
where the Digirap did the opposite.
It's a, oh, how do you pronounce this word? Mnemonic. How do you pronounce that?
Yes. Mnemonic, yeah.
That's what it is. Like, that's literally what it is.
That's literally all it is.
It's the alphabet song for Pokemon.
Except it's out of order.
Well, yeah, it's not in alphabetical. It's not in any order.
I literally cannot remember the actual order of Pokemon because of the Pokerap.
Really?
I mean, that's a great tragedy.
No, that's a lie. I just never
bothered. I was going to be like, you probably can't remember the order of Pokemon because who does that?
Because you didn't try.
Like, this is what you have a Pokedex for.
I think I read that the second generation one does follow the order, but... And also...
You're all fancy.
Another bit of trivia. There are four Pokemon... There are four Pokemon that are actually in... If you put them in their order, they are actually already... Like, the slot they're in the Poker app is the same as if they're... As their natural order.
It's only wow. Four.
Oh, which four nice. Pokemon are these?
Yeah, which four?
Where is this? It's Alakazam, Dodrio, Scyther, and Magmar. Huh. This is according to Bulbapedia.
So basically four who cares?
Yep.
Scyther is amazing. What just happened?
okay, calm down, Ashley.
Okay. But the Digirap is the exact opposite of Pokerap, okay? It is like, here's a narrative, here's some hype about a movie's about to happen, but there are no names. It is just like, Digimon are the champions. It's not going to tell you which, it does not immortalize the Digimon that are the champions.
Right. Well, would you really call this a narrative? Where are the characters? Like, where's the conflict?
See, so I think if you... There's conflict.
Oh,
there's
I see what you're saying. Because you go from preparing to the Digiworld being safe.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, there is a general narrative that happens. However, you do not know the Digimon that have made you all digi-safe or whatever.
Well, that's kind of fitting, though, because, I mean, Pokemon, the whole deal is about catching all the Pokemon and doing everything you can. Like, there's a completionist aspect to it, while Digimon is about the conflict.
And the narrative, yeah. But, I mean, like, yeah. I think it's, I mean, these series are kind of a, what's the word? Like, it's representative of the whole of, the songs are representative of the whole of, like, the way the franchise has been treated. And it's like, the Poker app, you know, it just lists Pokemon. It's like, but it's still, that's what's immortalized, because everyone remembers that, and the Digirap tries to be a narrative or whatever, but, like, no one remembers that.
No. But, like, it's sort of representative of the cyclical nature of Digimon. Like, the kids beat Devimon, but he comes back in season two. The kids beat Myotismon, and he comes back in season two. Like, you're fighting the same battle over and over
again.
Spoiler. Spoiler. We already did those seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the same basic story if you reduce it all the way to the level that the Digirap does.
If you reduce it, it is the Digirap.
Right.
Well, isn't every story the Digirap?
No. You keep watching because the story is so important to us.
I keep watching because I love Guillaumon. I don't know.
You could do it that way, too.
We're at the halfway point. Doing great so far.
We? What's all this we stuff?
I'm doing all the hard work.
Great time's over. Here we go.
Digi dudes will digi rule with digi ability.
going to play the first line of the Poker App, and then I'm going to play the first line of the Digirap.
All right. I just said half of the first line of the Digirap.
Was it Digi?
It's all right.
Oh. Now the first line of the Poker App.
We got to rap some Pokemon.
Okay. Interesting. Now the first line of the Digirap.
All right. Ready to go?
So yeah, I mean, I think it's evident how much more build-up there is in the Digimon. The Digirap. Pokerap just jumps right in and doesn't really give you time to breathe.
No. Both of these are introductions.
They're very different in introductions, though.
No, they're not.
I mean, the Pokerap just, it dives right into it.
We gotta wrap some Pokemon versus all right, ready to go.
First of all, what is the difference between all right and okay? You don't have an answer.
I think all right is more characters, so it's more verbose and it's more intelligent, what? Academic, and mature.
What?
I mean,
what?
Okay is what kids say. All right is what adults say.
No. Okay originally comes from military language.
Really?
Please expound upon the etymology of okay.
Oh, I'm going to look it up now.
I'm good.
Oh, maybe not. Oh, wait, maybe. Wait. Oh, this is interesting.
The story thickens.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And thus, Ash disappeared.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have sent me to do this. So the online etymology dictionary, etymonline.com, says that the first instance that we see it is 1839, the only survivor of a slang fad in Boston and New York for abbreviations of common phrases with deliberate jocular misspellings, such as KG. Well, you know, this is hard to do verbally, but in the case of OK, it was the abbreviation of All Correct, spelled OLLKORRECT. It was further popularized by use as an election slogan by the OK Club, who were New York boosters of Democratic President Martin Van Buren in 1840.
Who, of course, lost.
His nickname was Old Kinderhook. So don't tell me that all right has more history and maturity than okay, because you're wrong.
I couldn't find English etymology. I was trying to find English etymology of all right, but I found it was Norwegian.
Well, I think the use of all right stems at least all the way back to Middle English, but, you know, it doesn't have that sort of specific history to it, so.
Sure. And okay is also usable in Japanese, or at least in Tokyo. You can say okay des to say something's okay. And so yeah, I think okay wins.
Yeah, you can say it in Hebrew, too.
Okay, are you all ready for the second line?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Okay, so here's the poker app, line two.
You just do the singing. I'll take care of the hard part.
Okay.
I'm ready. Ready? Let's go.
Honestly, that was actually pretty similar there, too.
I am impressed by how many times the Digirap has already said ready. I mean, the Pokerap is obviously being much more specific about what we're getting ready to do, whereas the Digirap is like, you're ready for it. Like, I don't even need to tell you what we are doing. You are just so ready.
Oh, I assumed the first line was one rapper and the second line was a different rapper in both cases. So, they're both doing the same thing. Like, they're...
No, but the Digirap is just one dude!
Is it?
Yeah!
Both of them are actually two singers, according to the credits.
Yo, no. The dude... Play the first two lines of the Digirap again!
Yeah, please.
Okay. So now I'm gonna play the first two lines in one clip together. Okay. Of the Digirap.
Okay,
here we go.
Good. Okay. Yes.
Alright. Ready to go? I'm ready. Let's go.
That's definitely the same dude.
It's the same guy. You're right.
But I am confused because there is both MC Peapod and Paul Gordon credited, so.
I have no idea where Paul Gordon comes into this. After...
I mean, it might be the, Digimon Digital Monsters.
Yeah. Does he sing the real opening?
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's where he is.
Yeah. Okay. So, should we dive into line three? how much longer can we keep this charade up?
No transition. We're going to keep doing this.
I guess we have to. Okay, so now let's go. I'm afraid people will actually be turned off because they'll be like, no, are they actually going to go through line by line? Like,
no, we're not going to do it line by line. All right, I give up.
we could go through line
by line. We could do this. if you really wanted it.
I'm already in pain.
I would have been fine doing the entire episode like this.
Yeah, so the charade's up. We're not actually going to spend 2 or 3 hours talking about the Digirap and Pokerap line by line. April Fools.
Although we could.
We could. If you want that, you know, you can say if you want that.
If you want it, donate $100 to our Patreon. And Ashley,
yeah,
and I
mean,
just
we'll
go.
Just greatly do it.
Making promises.
I mean, we could keep it.
If they really donate $100 to our Patreon.
Then... I mean, yeah, I would totally do it.
Okay, so now let's get into this. So now now it's a normal episode. We're covering the next chunk of Tamers, so yeah.
I'm gonna need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Hot digits.
Welcome to Podigious, Tokyo Divas Part 3.
Recorded March 26, 2016.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Ash Softman, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
The Divas!
Jeff Ruberg.
Bullseye, baby!
Oh, God.
And Andrew Softman.
I don't know what to say. What should I say?
Oh, I lost you for a sec.
We're like, JK, not Andrew Softman.
Andrew didn't care. He only wanted us to do the Poké Rap and the Digi Rap.
Yeah, he was like,
a long time ago.
Nobody cares about Tamers.
Nobody cares.
All right.
Okay. This week, we're looking at episodes 21 through 24.
In episode 21, Jerry's Quest, a.k.a. Jerry's Weird, Jerry meets a new friend under unique circumstances, and she becomes much more interested in Digimon.
In episode 22, The Boar Wars, a.k.a. A Boral Dilemma, our heroes struggle with their most massive challenge yet, peer pressure and societal expectations, and learn the consequences when the digital world bleeds into the real world.
In episode 23, A World Apart, aka Bye Bye Innocence Mon, in the aftermath of the huge confrontation, the kids wait to be picked up by their parents, but Jerry's parents don't show up. A new identity is revealed, and Jerry receives an exciting present.
Jerry.
So Digimon. It's been a while since we haven't done Tamers in a while. I think it's been like at least a month since we've done Tamers, so.
No.
It's good to get back in the flow.
It's because Try is always in the way.
Oh, I forgot Try.
Yeah.
I forgot about Try.
We just recorded. It can't have been a month. Oh, but yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Because we talked about Joe and Mimi instead.
Well, that's very important to me.
Yeah, so these episodes were really weird. Like, I don't know. I remember that there was like a difference between these episodes and the ones before and after it. But like, I mean, because it's like a pivotal moment in the anime where things, you know, things are actually compelling them to go into the digital world now. But like, I didn't remember there being this much of a difference. Like, it was huge.
It got really dark really fast.
I mean, both like the tone, the writing, the characters that were focused on these episodes were totally different than the other episodes. Like,
yeah, although I appreciated that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm all for more Jerry.
You can probably tell, listeners, that I'm kind of done with our male protagonists.
So done. Get out of here, Takato. But leave Giyomon.
Yeah.
Learn from Giyomon.
I think done's a good term because I don't have any animosity towards them, but we've explored them a lot and there are lots of female characters we haven't. So yeah, it's exciting that these episodes got to focus on that more. Yeah.
I mean, it kind of feels like the whole rest of the show is going to focus more on Jerry, which is really great.
Yeah. I really don't, you know, like when you watch something that you haven't seen in a while and like, you know, you remember how it ends, but like you're watching it and you're so convinced you're like, wait, it can't actually get there. Right. Like, of course they're going to be saved or of course they're going to be killed here. Like there's no way it could get there. And you kind of, like, even though you know the endpoint, like that's how I feel now. I'm like, wait, how they can't possibly shift the focus back to Takato, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, now I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't remember this at all. So I have no idea what's coming next.
Yeah, I don't remember things. You know this. I'm all like, who gets kidnapped? Calamon, what? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you were convinced it was Jerry a couple weeks ago, so.
I was. I mean, it could go either way.
Yeah.
But Calamon makes more sense for the Digivolution X aspect.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But who knew such a girl who played with puppets had such a dark dark things.
But like, why would you show someone playing with puppets and animals and like not, or like animal figures in general, like without implying, like, I feel like there's some kind of weird, maybe not even fair, use of, like, you know, like showing a girl with a puppet should be a normal thing, but like the way it was presented in Game Tamers made it seem like there was something darker there. I don't know. Did you guys not think it sense at the time?
I mean, it made it seem weird.
Right.
Not dark. But then they showed all her other stuffed animals and they're always dark looking. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it also makes her seem a lot more like a child than I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Compared to everyone else, it's like,
that's true.
She didn't mature exactly. For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is.
But I guess I'm thinking the puppet always reminded me of Darkling because I remembered where the season ends up, and I remember like there was imagery linked to the puppet that eventually plays in. And I'm like, okay, I think of this as a dark thing.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah, I can't remember specifics, but like,
I don't
think it's like the puppet comes out of her hand and becomes a Digimon or anything. It's not anything like that.
The puppet possesses her.
I haven't watched that.
Oh my god! I think the puppet should definitely possess her. I think that's.
Gender.
Always so excited about gender.
I'm always gender. So excited about gender. Gender!
I feel like it's been a while since we talked about gender.
No, it hasn't.
In the last Tamers episode, we totally had an epic
discussion. And we totally about talked about gender in the last Try episode, too.
Oh, was that... So, yeah, I think we alluded to it before, but yeah, there's a lot more focus on girls in these episodes, which is really nice to see.
Girls. They want to have fun.
Just want to have fun. Do.
Well...
I mean, I'm pretty sure Jerry does just want to have fun, but also...
When they do try to have fun, bad things happen, apparently. Like, girls can't have nice things.
Girls can't have nice things because other girls stop them from having nice things.
No, I feel like the tension between the way that Jerry has fun, like, it's like every girl wants to have fun, but they want to have fun in different ways, and those clash and don't really work out well. I don't know. Like, Jerry's idea of what fun time is different than what her friends think is. But then the kind of messages, like, she kind of adapts to what their idea of fun is by the end. You know, like, she starts playing Digimon and stuff and wants to be a tamer and all that stuff. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird, the fact that she assimilates to what everyone else wants instead of being her own unique person.
I mean, she got to see Digimon in action.
Mm.
So it would make sense that you would want one.
Oh, wait. So the thing we complained about a couple episodes back... about the like whenever they show adults making out in the park, it's really kind of creepy. That was like here in like full force.
That was they upped that a lot.
even showing like Jerry's parents, like there was one scene where it showed Jerry's parents, like I guess just kissing after coming home from work or something.
They were just kissing. Yeah.
No, but they were just kissing. But it was like,
such an elongated kiss.
That was a really long kiss, but they were just kissing.
No, but I'm not saying like, oh, they were doing something naughty. I'm saying that like it kind of like it used the camera and like the fact that they were so still to kind of it seemed like it was kind of showing like, you know, adults are gross for doing this. Like it was they were lifeless and just like there and just like not really people almost. It was really weird.
Yeah. It made sexuality really threatening.
I think sexuality was definitely presented as threatening in multiple instances in these episodes.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, not what I want out of my kids' show.
No.
I mean, it's almost like, I mean, this arc kind of, I mean, there's always this debate about, like, Tamers, if it's, like, too mature for being a kid's show or whatever, but, like, this arc in particular seemed like it was, like, you know, going above that line or across the
line. I mean, it's just, is it hyping up the romance between Takato and Jerry? Like, is Jerry, like, yo, I want to kiss Takato, oh, wait.
Does Takato even show up in these episodes?
I don't know.
If he did, he was completely forgettable.
He was.
I'm just saying they've had this drama before, and I.
Right.
You missed. Takato was the guy who traded cards with Jerry, and then wanted something in exchange for trading cards.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so he was there for like 2 seconds.
Actually, no. I guess he didn't trade cards. He like told her about the cards she had.
Because
Jerry, for some reason, collects lots of cards, doesn't know what they do. So.
Or I think wasn't it that like it was her first. Her first new cards?
Hmm.
Has she played this game before?
I mean, it's kind
of her cards blue.
I think they kind of make it unclear whether she has.
She just has a horde of blue cards.
they just really don't know what they want Jerry to be capable of, I think. They just keep waffling on it.
I don't think it's a show. I think that's the view. You're not supposed to know as the viewer what she's capable of. But yeah, lots of hints that she is capable of more than what we've seen.
Right, right.
She has lots of potential. Yeah. It definitely seems like what we've seen so far is heading towards, like, the focus is kind of on Jerry going through puberty, you know, like.
Oh, really?
Are you saying, oh, really, because it's really obvious, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
I was like, are you questioning that? Like,
I mean, it's been obvious before. There was that, I don't remember exactly the context, but it was, like, something between her and Takato, and she was like, teehee, Takato, he's such a nice boy. I don't remember. It definitely happened.
My last comment I wrote down about gender was just that it's really cool and refreshing to have, like, girl-centric episodes in a show about technology and, like, you know, have, yeah, like, girls' interest in technology. And
yeah. It was also really nice to see girls being friends. Like, I kept waiting for those girls to, like, turn on her in some way, because that's always what happens in...
That's true. They did seem a little mean to her, but then it seemed like they genuinely were like, hey, we want you to have fun, Jerry.
Yeah, like, I thought she was going to be much more isolated, but that wasn't the impression I actually got. They were not, you know, the nicest girls around, and they kind of bullied her into doing things she wasn't comfortable with. But, like, they did actually genuinely care.
Yeah, I think that it was, like, a really interesting, complex portrayal of a friend. Like, that it's, like, you know, you don't just become friends with people always. It's just like, oh, yeah, now we're, like, super nice to each other and everything. Like, it was, like, they're kind of bullying her, but they also really care about, like, that's a really complex relationship to show on screen. And, yeah, I really appreciate how realistic that is. And, you know, it kind of teaches you that, like, you know, someone's a little mean to you, but, like, it doesn't necessarily like that means that they're a bad person. They're not going to be nice to you. They have no potential for kindness. And...
Right. But also, you shouldn't listen to them.
Yeah. But I feel like everybody gets into situations with their friends where their friends are like, hey, I want you to do this with me. And you're kind of like, I don't really want to. And then they keep, like, pressuring you and you're like, eh.
Wait. So, I don't know. I was also a little uncomfortable with, it was a different art style, in these episodes, I think. And the way they drew her friends when they got dressed up was I was a little uncomfortable.
Like, making them seem older and...
Yeah. Is that not just their clothes, though?
I think it's both. I think it's, like, I think there are subtle visual cues.
Yeah, there was an emphasis of, you know, certain parts that wouldn't have been very developed, I would think, at this age.
Yeah, because they're, I think, wait, what age are they? I can't remember.
Okay, they're 10, but 12 in dub.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess the dub aging is what, because our ages are totally mixed up because of the dub aging being 2 years off and everything. And
yeah.
Because, like, at 12, they would be in middle school in the U.S., but not middle school in Japan. But then, I don't know, it's, like, sometimes the titles of the dub change that terminology, and then that's really confusing. And anyway, they definitely seem too young at this point to focus. So now, Stray Bits, any loose comments, things we didn't get to mention in the other segments we want to talk about? First,
what the crap was any of that? That happened in those episodes. It was not okay.
At the same time, I want their technology. Actually, their technology, I can't get a read on. It kind of seems...
It's both outdated and futuristic. Like it.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, but that makes sense. I mean, this was made like at least like more like 15, about 15 or more years ago. Like, so, like, I mean, it makes sense that their view of what the future is just wrong.
I feel like when you make technology and you try to make it futuristic, it just feels, I don't know, maybe because we're living in the future. I'm all confused. I don't.
Although one bit about that, like, technology that I found really bizarre, I don't understand how that would even, like, fit in, but when they show Jerry using her computer, I can't remember if it's, like, newer computer, the older computer, but, like, the typing noises, just, like, as she's typing whatever, sounds exactly like the typing noises on the PSP. I'm just like, what is this, like, the same exact sound effects? Like,
I feel like that is so... Yes, you made the sound effects for Tamers using your PSP.
No, I mean...
Your thumbs hitting the PSP.
What? Episode's so many creepy shadows, too, like...
Oh my god, it was the return of the weird backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like,
it definitely had,
like,
cosmic girl horror.
Yeah, the weird digital world backgrounds. Like, when they didn't want to draw actual ground.
Yeah, but
it just didn't feel like it. It was very avant-garde, right? Isn't that what we decided?
Yeah.
That art
Andrew keeps calling it auteur. Auteur. Which is so pretentious.
That's even more pretentious than avant-garde. It already is.
Also, there was that one scene that was like almost identical to the scene from Zero Two, where Jerry's walking in the hallway and there are creepy shadows, and I was like, are we back in the Dark Ocean episode? Like, this is like almost shot for shot. Similar.
I mean, these episodes were all Dark Ocean.
And then we had, like, you know, the creepy red eyes and the car thing. Like, yo, are we back in the Dark Ocean?
Or are we in a Gundam series?
Andrew, it's all hypnos.
References that none of us know, except for me.
Did anyone think it was really weird how much, like, I was really surprised by how much computer and programming terminology and stuff they learn in like, school. Like she was learned, like, her, one of her classes was, like, a programming class. And then, like, they referred to later her, like, learning, like, how to, like, break apart a computer and, like where the motherboard goes and stuff like that. And I was like, I didn't learn, and, like, when we were in school, we learned how to type. And that was it.
Yeah. They were like, here's how you make a PowerPoint.
Oh my god, the scene with Henry's dad and when he was in his computer room, like all the computers around him, was like so creepy. Like, he's supposed to be like mentoring whatever, but just like the way that shows the economy with like how he's talking to the people and how he's like he's being, you know, like jovial and kind in person, but on the internet he's like laughing at random things, and it's just like it was weird.
You think he's being kind in person?
I guess.
In that scene,
okay, he was like much more invested in what he was doing online than he was in
I didn't mean like actually kind and like warm and welcoming, but just like, you know, the words he was saying was like, yes, I'll help you and I'll, you know, I'll set it up and whatever. It wasn't, that was like a with kind of distance kind of thing, but it was like the contrast between that and then just like laughing at his computer screens, just like, so I guess what it's trying to get across there is like how duplicitous, it's like that, like the internet, the digital world, like introduces duplicitousness to people, which is like a weird message, weird theme.
You think that's a weird theme in general or for Tamers?
I guess in general, and it is kind of out of the blue for Tamers.
No, I disagree about in general.
I mean, I guess these episodes, a lot of it talked about, you know, like having a different personality, like in the digital world or like compared to the real world, and it's like, I think that was kind of a more common belief about how the internet would affect our lives in the past, whereas now it's like you don't like develop a new personality online, like. But I guess people do, as a group, act very differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more true in the, like, zoomed out, the way groups act is very different online.
I think being online just heightens the way that you act differently with different people, depending on the circumstances. Like, it is a completely different circumstance because you're, like, just interacting with digital things and not a physical person.
Right, I mean, it's like the effect of, I don't know if there's, like, an actual psychological term for this, but like when you're in a car and it's not very personal, so that's why like it leads to proliferation of road rage, because you feel like it's more anonymous and you can be angry with a person without them, like, you know, not facing them, not directly seeing their face, so you're not like,
yeah, it's a safety thing. Yeah. It's a security thing. You're not going to be socially punished because they don't know, they can't get to you.
Yeah.
I mean, in a car, they could get to you by like running you off the road, but
yeah. Oh, one thing I thought was a cool reference, I think in later episodes that we didn't watch here, they actually show more Apple devices, which is interesting because, I mean, like in season one, they definitely had like Izzy's laptop was inspired by, or it seemed inspired by Apple things. But in this, the new computer Jerry gets is, like, it says it's for like Copeland OS, what is it? Copeland OS Enterprises. And I was like, that name sounds really familiar. It's, Copeland was like the project that Apple was developing for a new operating system in, I think, the late 1990s. So like a couple of years before this came out. And there was like, I guess there's just a nod to, I guess, Kanaka writing the series as a Apple fan, I guess. Just threw that in there. Also, I mean, Jerry's family and like their lack of presence is just so sad. And I mean, it's weird from a plot level. Like, it definitely supposed to be like a mysterious element to that. But it's also just kind of sad seeing her family not pick her up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other stray bits?
She has cute hats.
The most important bit.
Very important bit.
Was that bear thing, was that like a onesie?
Yeah, it was like a pajama.
Yeah, it was like a kigurumi.
So yeah, I don't remember the hats, but like her bear suit is definitely the bear suit.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
The bear pajama.
Well, she has a hat in the opening.
What, she's Sora now?
It actually is kind of a Sora hat. You know, like it has the
ooh, it is a Sora hat. Oh yeah. My gosh, my mind is blown.
I guess they just reused that idea from the first season.
No, she did have another hat. She had like a, it had ears. It was of an indeterminate animal.
Oh, like, okay. It was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, like infantilizing, but cute.
Well, I mean, I think that infantilization is the point.
Yeah, no, like her hats are totally, totally a metaphor for infantilization.
I mean, everything she wears is. Actually, like, if you notice the sleeves of her... Crap, I can't do this.
I think we've already gone too far. Now it's really obvious.
No, no, it's like we're leaking detail. Like, the Matrix is falling apart. Like, it's good. We're near the end.
The Matrix is falling away.
No, like,
if you look at her sleeves, they're too long on her uniform, and then she's got her like onesie pajamas and her animals, and it's ridiculous.
There's one scene in particular where she like goes to sleep with the hood, like she goes to sleep in the pajamas, and then like, she keeps them on, so it's not like, but like she goes to sleep with the pajamas and the hood on her head, and then wakes up with the hood off, and I was like, okay, this is clearly like a kind of like cocoon waking up and being more adult and.
Oh, is that, I just,
really?
That's a normal thing that happens if you wear a hoodie to bed.
Oh, I never worn hoods to sleep.
Wait, Jeff, I wear a eye mask to sleep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like gone.
Yeah.
Like completely gone.
It's just a thing that happens.
I wrote down an unanswered question topic, but I don't have any notes, but I also don't think we need notes for this.
Like, unanswered questions. What?
Everything?
Why? Anything. All of it.
Everything. I started upset with these episodes, and I ended upset, too.
So, like, I remember where this goes more than, I guess, like, everyone else watching this for the first time in a really long time. So, like, I remember where things go, and I remember what's answered and what isn't. So, I'm kind of, like, thinking about, I think there are things you're supposed to think about as plot, and things you're supposed to think about as, like, just, they're just weird and never explained, and they're kind of metaphor, and, but, yeah.
I just... Why is this also the direction that it's going in? Like, why must it be this way?
I mean, I guess they must have known that going in, like, hiring Jackie Konaka as the writer for the season. I mean, he did a couple, I can't remember the name of it. He did a series like this before. It was really like these episodes, actually, but can't remember the name. I think
what was it about?
It was, like, something about breakfast food?
What?
It was, like, the name.
What do people eat for breakfast? What do you eat for breakfast?
Wait. Oatmeal. It was like Oatmeal Labs or something.
Oatmeal Labs. Is this like Crying Breakfast Food from Steven Universe?
Yeah, maybe that's what that's based on. Maybe that's what the Crying Breakfast Friends is based on.
Oh, maybe.
Hmm. Wow.
We're really bad at improv. I'm really bad at improv.
I was like, I'm just going to let this keep going. I was like, what are you cereal. I get it.
Ashley, that's a podcast.
Yeah, I started listening to it recently.
Yeah, Ashley, so what do you think about cereal?
Cereal's pretty good.
I found this experiment of you listening to cereal really interesting.
Experiment? It's an experiment?
I mean, yeah, because you didn't watch it originally, and now you're watching it sort of like 2 years later. Most people watched it. Most people who care about podcasts at all listen to it back then or just don't care about listening to it at all. So like, the fact you're listening to it now is kind of an experiment. And you've been like laying down while you watch it or listen to it. So I'm really curious what you think.
Yeah. No, I really like it. I can see why it's gripping. At the same time, I'm like, this is not revolutionary, but okay.
It's the height of the podcast as a medium.
It's the height of the podcast as a medium. Yeah. Okay, sure. I think podcasts have evolved in those 2 years.
Have they digivolved?
Yes, they've digivolved.
Podcastinka!
That was one of the names I wanted to name the podcast, was Podcastinka.
Seriously?
Oh, man. No, that's a horrible name. Glad we didn't go with that.
So much better.
Yeah. yeah, it digivolves to, I don't, some word that's better than podcast, because podcast does not really encapsulate what is happening.
Oh, it's just a word. Words are all just random strings of characters, like television. Oh, yeah.
No. They're not strings of characters. They're strings of sounds.
Mm.
Oh.
Fine.
You just got told.
Thank you.
But But podcast is no less meaningful than television.
Okay.
I don't know if I have enough insight into television to confirm or deny this.
It's just like that's like television is a word that, you know, is so ingrained in our culture for decades before we were born that we don't question it. It's just a thing. But podcast is new. And
so what makes television not an applicable word to?
I'm saying that they're both applicable. You're saying podcast should be a better word than podcast. And I'm saying, no, we don't need a better word. Like, we just need to accept the words exist, like we have done for every other medium.
Okay.
Like we've done for radio, television, film, movies. Like, it's such a movie is such a it's just a silly word. It's it's things that move.
They movie. They move. They move. Okay, on the screen. Do not question the silliness of movies. Okay.
Yeah. So I really think it's just, I don't know. There are a lot of people that talk about how silly the word podcast is, and I'm just like, you are so, it's not quite as biased, it's just like limited perspective, I think. It's fine to say it's silly, but to say like the medium needs a new word and like it will not progress until there's a new word.
I am so sorry I triggered this.
How dare you.
I think about podcasts a lot. Okay,
I know.
In the wise words of Willow Smith, there are no novels that I like to read, so I write my own novels, and then I read them again, and it's the best thing.
Oh my gosh.
This episode was made possible by gullible listeners like you, and was actually about Serial Experiments Lane, episodes 1-3, which you can watch on Hulu or Funimation.com. You can find the show notes and comment section for this episode by questioning authority one day a year and visiting podiges.com/012.
Podiges is made possible with the support of our awesome Patreon. Amanda Angelman, Andre LeDucman, David Grauman, Eric Angelman, Joe Keto, Jack Santa Agumon, Kailunaman, Sam Kriwagaman, and Stevie Patman.
If you want to support the show, you can join our private Slack chat group for $1 a month, you can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podiges.
You can find us on The Wired or on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and GIFs related to the show. You can find me on blank.
Oh no, I forgot about this.
Ashley.
You can find me on Twitter at AsherD00.
Asher.
You can find me on Tumblr at AsherDashery.
Lane. Okay, Lane. And Jeff.
Definitely Jeff on Twitter.
You can also find links to all our social media accounts at podiges.com.
Our Calamon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, aka Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who deny the literary merit of the Digirap.
And join us next time as we actually discuss the end of the Tokyo Davis arc.
Bye.
And remember, never stop closing this world, opening the next.
Remember our like the bursar sir blah 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 sir to no. Say sir a lot.
It's not, they don't say bursar sir, they say you punch the bursar after saying burr sir.
Yeah, that like, makes it better. Yeah,
yes.
You see, I have a great appreciation of Hamilton.
I mean, I do see
now I'm like, we should compare the Digirap to the Hamilton raps.
No.
Please, let's not.
I already Abraham have such Link. Deep no, things about this.
Do you? I'm excited.
Oh, like the music to use for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we use the Digirap?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'll use that. Maybe I'll like do a dynamic, like I'll mix Digirap and Pokerap together myself, because I'm totally DJ.
Oh boy.
Ashley, you took digital music. Can you do that? Can you mix them for me?
I'm so bad at it.
I could probably do it. Maybe. I felt like it.
I fully DJ her, so I'm pretty sure I can do it.
I mean, yeah, I'm so good at DJ Hero.
I don't actually want anyone to spend time doing that. I'll just use the Digirap.
Yeah, just use the Digirap, and that's it.
I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
The Digipollution is up and running.
And Asher Soffman.
Did you see, did you hear, did you know it was coming?
And Andrew Soffman.
A digi destiny starts today. Let me hear you say
Digimon. Yeah. Great, we're done.
Great, that's it. That's the episode.
Wait, wait, Andrew, can you team me up for that again? I'm going to edit my voice into replying along with everyone else. So what was the line again?
The digi destiny starts today. Let me hear you say
Digimon. Okay, I'm going to just cut my voice into the. Okay.
Great. Wait, before we do, did we actually release our first episode of Podigious on March 31st?
Yeah.
Oh, well, happy anniversary to us.
Yeah. Woo!
You're like, this is real, right?
Is this real?
Is this real life?
Actually, real or not real?
Real.
Are we a married couple and we just forgot our anniversary again?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's only a 2-year anniversary. It's not an important one.
It's not important.
Actually, no, like, year anniversaries go down in importance. Like, it starts off really high and then...
I was about to say, I feel like you should remember 2 years out.
But it's not like Gilmore Girls. Like, it's our 2-month anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that's our 2-week anniversary.
Yes, the one true poker app. The one poker app to rule all poker apps or something? I don't know Lord of the Rings.
You call yourself a nerd?
I don't know Lord of the Rings, yeah. Well, I guess I call myself a geek.
I don't like Lord of the Rings. Oh, I said it. Throw down. Let's go.
Yeah, but you don't like lots of things. Like, I find it surprising that Jeff doesn't know Lord of the Rings.
I actually really don't like... I mean, I like the movies. But when mm-hmm. I think about the movies a lot, I really don't like the... how evil is portrayed. It's like, oh, it's about war and stuff, but it's a war where one side is just complete evil, and it's like, that's so it's so not how the real world is, but
right.
Sure.
Yeah,
said by a person on a Digimon podcast.
Well, yeah. Sure. I just don't like how it's like it's trying to portray the realities of war in a way where one side is completely wrong.
I really don't think it's doing that.
Yeah, it's okay, that's also true. It's not it's not war in any way that is similar to our own wars that we have fought in at least like
right.
2 millennia or whatever.
Except for the part where Tolkien really was bitten by a tarantula, but I don't know if that happened in the trenches or not. Probably not.
Wait, what?
The reason Tolkien was so scared of spiders is because he was bitten by a tarantula.
I'd be scared of a tarantula too if I saw one.
Yeah, I don't need to be bitten by it. Like,
I'm in a like unlit closet, so let's not talk about spiders.
Don't they also list Pokemon names in the opening, the first opening?
Do they?
In Pokemon?
Yeah.
I don't know the Japanese song.
I don't believe so.
They do.
In the English song or the Japanese?
The English, I mean the Japanese one.
I don't know the Japanese song.
Pokemon Getto Daze.
There's a point where there's just a bunch of Pokemon being listed.
Are you sure?
Yes. I don't know if it's in the song, but it is there visually.
Well, that might be true.
But I'm pretty sure they list a bunch of Pokemon.
Nope. You made that up. They list some other things, but they don't list any Pokemon.
Are you sure?
Yes. Do you want me to... Here, look.
Do you know the Japanese names of Pokemon?
No.
This doesn't look like it is listing Pokemon names.
You're wrong, Andrew.
Anyway.
Don't challenge me.
In that case, it's just there visually.
That is true. They do show a bunch of Pokemon, but they're like, you know, showing them in their natural habitats, I think, in that.
No, they're not.
Whatever.
There's a bunch of boxes.
Whatever. I don't know. I usually stop watching whenever I see Pikachu go up the girl's skirt. Have you never seen the Pokemon opening? The Japanese one?
It's in the English one, too, just not with the lyrics.
That's true.
I don't remember this.
Pokemon, get to the bay! We're not doing this one!
What is this weirdness?
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. It's just like names of Pokemon in the individuals.
Pokemon. Get to the bay. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I don't like this opening. I'm going to play the one I like. This isn't it.
Which one is this?
That was the wrong one. I didn't mean to play that one. That was the first X and I one.
Yeah, I was like, I don't recognize this at all.
That was the first XY one. No, but there's the most recent one I really like, if I can find it.
The XYZ one?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. This does not give me Pokemon vibes.
No. It's like so rock and
You know what this reminds me of, actually?
Oh, what?
It reminds me of Sonic the Hedgehog music.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's the artist? Satoshi, that's great. Thanks. I don't think it's actually Satoshi. Okay, so that's enough of that.
Okay, that was a thing.
Yeah, that sounded kind of vaguely like a Sonic song. Vaguely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that vibe applied to a very goofy children's thing is... It reminds me of everything to do with Sonic Adventure's music choices.
It's basically, it's like go. You know, like, it's very, like...
Go, gotta go fast.
I was thinking of that one.
Gotta go fast.
I was thinking of, you know, City Escape and... Or Escape from the City, if we're talking
Escape
about
the
music.
From the City!
City Escape's the level.
Yes, I know City Escape's the level. How many times have I played that level, Andrew?
I played it more than you.
I don't think you did.
I did.
I really don't think so.
There was a point where I literally just did City Escape over and over again.
Well, there was a point where I did that, too.
What was the claim? Which name is which? What was the claim?
City Escape is the level, Escape from the City is the song. And don't bother checking, we know we're right.
Escape from the City is what I have in my library. It's probably a remix or something, but... Because it was from Sonic Generations.
Oh, this is Sonic Generations version?
Oh, wait, sorry, this is the one. That's not the one I like, this is the one I like.
Yeah, that was definitely different. Yes, here we go!
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, is this like a dance remix?
I think it's Cash Cash remix, and I was like, Cash Cash, dude, freaking Sonic song, my mind is blown.
Only one way to find out. Must keep
in the head.
No time for guessing, follow my lead
instead. Tune in what you can't see. Take my lead, I'll set you free. Follow me. It keeps cutting out whenever somebody sings, so I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that makes sense.
Follow me.
Set me free. Trust me and we will escape from the city. Okay. I liked it because Cash Cash did it.
Why don't we become a Sonic podcast?
We should become a Sonic podcast.
Sonic soundtrack podcast?
Are there any Sonic podcasts? How would a Sonic podcast work?
I don't know if there should be at this point.
But... I don't know.
This would be sad about... There seem to be a couple different ones.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not shocked.
Sonic State, Sonic Stadium. These might not be Sonic game podcasts. They might be like...
There's got to be a Sonic Boom podcast for the TV show.
There are lots of popular or like kid podcasts that don't have any... Kid shows that don't have any podcasts. There should be like a Sonic podcast for like the restaurant. You're like going to different Sonic establishments and.
Oh my gosh!
Is there any other comments about the general structure of these songs before we go line by line?
Nope. Should we rap them to each other?
No, actually, we are not rappers. We should not disgrace these songs by trying to rap them. We are not professional artists. We should let the professional artists sing the songs.
We can mimic it.
Yeah.
Ashley and I have rhythm. I don't know about you guys.
Oh.
Okay. So should we dive into line three?
Oh.
how much longer can we keep this charade up?
Well, it took me a while to be like, what is the real part of the opening? But you mean like the Digimon Digital Monsters part of it?
I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Ashley, I was in the middle of transitioning and you're like, oh, let me just bring up this other thing.
No transition. We're going to keep doing this. I think the puppet should definitely possess her. I think that's what should happen. Rewrite Tamers.
What is this, a Stephen King novel?
You know, I haven't read enough Stephen King.
Oh, sorry, I've been watching 11/22/63, so I've basically read his entire catalog.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
Two whole episodes left in that.
I think I'm one behind, so I have three more.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Ooh. stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, I was watching at the same time, the same week, like I was catching up the same week we saw Only Yesterday. I was like, everything 60s, but Japan 60s seems so much better than America 60s.
Well, Japan 60s was also post-war Japan still.
Yeah. Also, the Japan they show in Only Yesterday is like just her school life, basically. Like, it's not really her school and her home. You don't really get a sense of society like you do in 11-22-63.
We're a 1960s podcast now.
I think it's been a while since we talked about gender.
No, it hasn't.
No, in the last Tamers episode, we totally had an epic.
And we totally talked about gender in the last Try episode, too.
Did we?
Is the gender blue?
Is the gender blue?
Am I making a Gengar joke?
Are you making a Gengar? What? I don't understand anything that's happening.
Yeah, I'm lost.
I'm sorry.
Are you making a blue gender joke?
Yes.
What's a blue gender joke?
How do you even remember that? Blue gender was a... mecha show.
Really? What?
I thought it was just sci-fi.
Oh, maybe.
What a weird name.
But I feel like everybody gets into situations with their friends where their friends are like, hey, I want you to do this with me. And you're kind of like, I don't really want to. And then they keep like pressuring you and you're like, eh.
I apologized about the concert already, Ashley.
What?
Wait, what?
nothing.
Did you peer pressure her?
Yeah, did maybe. You peer pressure me?
Yeah, I asked you to go to the Meter Maids concert with me on the same night there was an Avicii concert.
Oh, that was mean.
That was mean.
Yeah.
You're a mean person.
I'm sorry. Next time I'll go with you to an Avicii concert.
No, next time. No, next time we'll figure it out.
I will fly to California.
Yes. Okay.
For your Avicii concert.
I'm going to hold you to that.
You know, she's told me she can't even listen to Avicii anymore because it gives her such horrible memories and scars from it.
That's not true.
Of not getting to go to the Avicii concert. Yeah. Where was it even? It was pretty far.
I don't know. Didn't I have a car, though? I had a magic car.
Yeah. Did you have a car? Yeah, you must have. How did we get to the Mute Math concert, rather?
Yeah, I think we drove to it in my car.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, in some, like, shady, I don't
it
know.
Was. In, like, it was. In Pawtucket or something. It was in Pawtucket, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Pawtucket.
Why is everything in Pawtucket? Why isn't anything in Providence?
I don't know. Providence is too tiny. It's just, like...
isn't Pawtucket smaller?
I don't know. It's cheaper there.
Wait, are there actually, like, stadiums there?
In Providence?
No, in Pawtucket.
I mean, it was definitely in a bar that just had like an open floor. Yeah. They didn't have any
I don't believe
tables.
I don't believe there are stadiums in Rhode Island.
There is like one stadium.
Is there?
There's like Dunkin' Donuts convention. Oh, okay.
Of course it's Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. I think the Avicii concert might have been in Philly. It was also a school night. It was a Thursday.
I mean, school is for fools.
Oh, I don't think our teacher... If anybody from my school is listening to this,
don't. Your students?
I love school. I'm a student.
Oh, wait, but don't you have students?
Do you recommend your classmates listen to this?
No, but one of them has listened to some of it, actually.
Oh!
I mean, after I told him about it.
But, it's like magic.
But he's not a Digimon fan, really, so.
So he just listens to words that, like,
he just listened to it because he wanted to hear me on a podcast because I'm really quiet in class.
Ash, I need to send you a podcast I was listening to that's about like millennials and Judaism. I don't know. It was cool. It was about the role of rabbis in modern society, kind of for millennials.
Mm. Oh my God, Jeff, what did you just send us?
What is this? Why did you send?
I saw it on Facebook, and
you were like, "That's great."
Jeff, get off Facebook.
Well, they were talking about like a concert from 20 years ago.
Well, not 20. It was like four. Six, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, five.
When was this podcast from?
From never. From also, your like, imagination.
Like, it was the first time that I'd like thought about Judaism in a while, and I was like, oh yeah, I actually really appreciate growing up Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like about, you know, like actually, like not just here's this dogma. It was like here's how to think, and here you should question things and debate with your rabbi and stuff.
Debate. The only thing rabbis do is debate with other rabbis. Oh my god. Sorry, I'm in the...
Oh, you already traumatized by this?
No. I'm in the rabbinical civilization semester, so I'm learning about the age where the actual people called rabbis existed, and it's something. It sure is something.
Wait, what age are they? I can't remember.
Didn't they say she was... She said she was in...
Ashley Digimon.
Aren't they, like, 10?
Yeah, Digimon, they're 10.
Digimon. I mean, she said she was in 8th grade.
Right, right. At some point. Yeah, I almost said that. I was like, yeah.
She'd be 14?
Yeah, I guess, 13, yeah.
14? I mean, they're at Chunibyo age.
Oh, Chunibyo.
That explains so much, actually.
I mean, if that is this how you expect Chunibyo to go? Like,
No. But like that age, like where doing ridiculous things seems like the thing to do. Oh, like, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Like going
That's
to bars.
That's how you and... adult.
I even didn't know people who like went to bars at, you know, age 13 or 14.
I don't think that you... Okay, that's not true.
Maybe in Japan.
There were clubs that did, you know, like 18 and under, which would be like 14 to...
Anyway, let's get back to stuff that we can actually include in the podcast. All right, I guess we can cut these out at the end, because at the end we'll have already revealed and we can...
Sure.
Whatever.
You definitely have to put at the end, Ashley Damer, Digimon. It's also a picture of your great car.
Of my what?
Of your great green car.
Oh, before or after I crashed.
Mm. I don't know. It's from 2 years ago and you said I'm ready for St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, I crashed it the day after I got it, so it must be after.
Oh my god.
There's a tweet saying I'm 24.
I'm 24.
It is no longer true.
You should correct that.
Yeah, you should tweet again and say I'm 26.
Almost 26 and a half.
Oh my god, you should definitely write that.
No, that can't be right. Whatever.
You just turned 24 and a half, right?
Yes.
I turned 26 and a half in May.
Wait, I thought you two were a year and a half apart, not 2 years apart.
You guys, really? You keep changing your story.
We're a year and a half apart. Are we a year and 8 months apart, Andrew? No. I never did this math right. Andrew was born in August, and I was born in November. Okay, so I was born in November of 89. And Andrew, you were born in 91. Yes. So it's not a full 2 years.
I apparently retweeted one of these things. I retweeted you saying, barring that, why can't I be a Digimon scholar? This is after you said, but why can't I be a cartoonist, rabbi, librarian, bestselling YA author, LGBTQ youth, munter, and professional dog walker?
Well, actually,
you could be all those things.
and still be a Digimon scholar.
Ash.
What?
You can be all those things if you believe.
You gotta believe.
Asher, you could make so much money being a dog walker in San Francisco.
I know.
God, what
it's
are you
ridiculous.
Doing?
This?
Why do people do anything other than dog walking?
I don't know. Why am I going to rabbinical school? I'm paying so much money.
wait, Ash, I'm really confused because there's a tweet from February 23rd, 2014 that says, if I ever need a Danganronpa 2 Tumblr tag, I'm calling it Super Dingus Rom-Com 2. But like, why would you not need a Tumblr tag for it? Was that before you played it or like thought it was going to be good or something?
February 23rd.
I mean, was that before it came out or something?
It was not before it came out. I didn't get into Danganronpa until it had been out for a while.
But like 2004, like 2 years ago?
I think that's when I started playing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because it was 2 years ago that they both came out in US at least.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Time.
Yeah, it feels like it was like yesterday. Ashley, you need to play Danganronpa.
I don't know if she'll like it. You might like it.
I feel like it was pretty clear for me like that I was going to like it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So like, I think it like sets the... Oh, it's just so perfect.
I mean, it's not perfect.
Okay, sure. But yeah.
But it is enjoyable for certain people.
You need to hedge everything so much.
I don't like people shoving their likes onto other people. Like, people wreck me so many books that I'm just like, I don't actually like this book. Mm. And I feel very self-conscious about doing that to Ashley because our likes and dislikes do not overlap. Except
yeah, they
are
normally very different things. Yeah.
So it's like, if I like something, there's a big chance Ashley won't.
This has been proved through history.
When we were in school, we learned how to type, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, here's how you make a PowerPoint.
Did you learn to type well, though?
No, I didn't. We we were just like, I think they just gave us Mavis Beacon. And then I only learned to type well in like 11th grade when I learned Dvorak and corrected my bad typing. Because I was just typing. I always.
And now no one types well anymore.
I mean, like, what? You mean like the way that you're supposed to? Like,
yeah.
Right, so like that's why I learned Dvorak, because I didn't, like, I learned to type with just my, like, pointer fingers, so I would type really fast, like, whatever, like, 100 words per minute with just my pointer fingers, but I learned Dvorak so ridiculous. I could...
Wait, what?
Maybe it was 80 words per minute. Anyway.
They totally taught us how to touch type properly without your pointer fingers.
No, because that was the frustrating part. It's like, once you're really competent at something...
No one does that anymore.
Right, when you're really competent, like, it's hard to teach yourself to use other... So that's why I learned Dvorak. It's easier to start from scratch than it is to, like, fix the way you already know how to do it. If that makes any sense?
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still sounds dumb, though.
But in school, like, there was never any pressure. Like, they were never, like, stop using just your... I touch-typed with two fingers. Like, it wasn't like I didn't know how to touch-type. It was like... Then no one told me, like, you know, you can't just use those fingers. You need to use all the fingers.
But I thought they taught us how to use all the fingers. You just...
I think they put us down in front of Mavis Beacon, and Mavis Beacon was like, what's your speed? Okay, you can type 80 words per minute. Let's just skip past all the tutorials.
No, I definitely remember getting a book then.
You got a book? What?
Yeah. Oh, man, Jeffrey, you don't even remember.
I had Ultra Key, not Mavis Beacon.
Ooh, Ultra Key. That sounds so much fancier.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Mario Teaches Typing, too.
That was the best game that ever existed. Did we ever beat it?
I don't know. Did you? I never played it.
What?
You're the only one who played it.
Really?
How much did you dominate him?
Oh, a lot. Well, also, we were much younger then, and he probably couldn't type at the time.
Well,
it was before school started, man, for me.
Hmm.
It was before I went to kindergarten.
No.
Yes, it was.
Ash, we didn't even know who Mario was until I was, like, in first grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay, this jump man guy... This guy, he just jumps when I type, and... Okay. Huh. Moving on from the two of you tearing apart
brothers are so...
Like, I definitely remember having the game around 2000.
Did we have it on the Windows 95 or the Windows 98?
It was probably the 98.
Huh.
Oh, you guys had Windows 98. I just forgot you were so fancy.
And actually, sometimes I wear socks. Actually, I rarely wear socks, but when I do wear socks, the next thing I know, I'm not wearing socks.
That's because you take them off and then you fall back asleep and you don't remember doing it.
I would do that myself.
Well, that's what happens to me anyway.
That's not what happens to me. They just disappear.
It's the digi-gnomes are taking them.
Yeah.
You're a digi-gnome.
The digivolution is up and running. Yeah. Can I just say before we do the outro, sorry, Ashley. Like, in my head, I had apparently, like, conflated Lane and Code Lyoko. So I was very surprised I started watching these episodes. I was
this
is not what I was expecting. What?
I don't even know
what this is.
What is
Code Lyoko?
It's like Code Geass.
It was... No.
How do you not... Jeff, did you even watch TV?
They didn't have cable, Andrew.
Oh, right.
I mean, I had cable until fifth grade, and then I didn't have cable from fifth grade on.
Code Lyoko is... They go into the... I don't actually... Did we ever watch Code Lyoko? I don't
know. I kind of did.
Like, they go into the computer or something.
Yeah.
They go into this digital world.
Well, I feel like probably a lot of people haven't seen Serial Experiments Lane at this point.
Yeah, that's the frustrating... That's why I realized, like, this was a much more difficult episode in the last years. Because, yeah, I think most... Like, even people hadn't seen Pokemon Origins, like, they've seen enough Pokemon that, like... Like, oh, just find out, oh, it's Pokemon. I had some suspicions that when we were talking about Ty, that was actually Ash or whatever. But, like, yeah, I feel like, oh, right, sorry. Satoshi.
Okay, acceptable. Actually, no, isn't he red in Pokemon Origins?
Right. Yeah, it was red and,
it's red and green or
blue. Yeah, it's blue. So,
well, depending on what version you're watching.
Wait, there were two different versions?
In the Japanese, he's green. In the English, he's blue.
Oh, okay. Like, his hair is the same color, but in Japanese, they call it Midori, and we call it blue.
Actually, they call him green, I believe, in Japanese.
Right, that's what Midori
because
is.
It's
because red is red dope. No. They call him, actually, in English, green.
Oh, they say, like, green. Oh, huh.
I believe so. Don't they? Isn't Red's name Reddo and Green's name is Green?
Green? I don't know. I don't remember, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's Japanese words.
Wait, what? What is Jeff trying to say?
I was saying the Japanese word for green, Midori.
Yeah.
But...
No, but in the The names are different between the versions because we didn't have green.
No. The names are different because, the name in the English version, what we see is Gary, for lack of a better term, has blue hair, and we call him Blue, right? So, like, they couldn't just use a different word.
No, he has brown hair.
No.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Jeff, you're colorblind. Why are you arguing with us?
I could have sworn he had blue hair.
No, he has brown hair. He's always had brown hair.
But doesn't he get a Squirtle? He gets a Squirtle. Because he's like, I was named Blue because of blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a speech in the beginning.
I don't remember that.
There was. I'm just so confused.
Also,
right
his
now.
Hair is totally green.
His hair no, is brown.
Freaking brown.
This is green.
It's brown.
No. Gary has brown hair.
No, so does Blue Green.
Wait, look at it.
We've seen it, Jeff.
That's green.
Jeff.
Let me use
my bag. God, it's brown.
Let me use my bag.
It's brown.
Okay.
It is light brown.
Process colors you can't see properly.
Okay. I'm looking at this on a color wheel.
It's brown.
It's so green.
It's so brown. It's not even funny. His shirt is green.
Yes.
Is that the right color?
Wait, which character are we talking about anymore?
Green.
Wait, so the one I posted in Slack.
Green, blue.
Okay, on the RGB spectrum, on the RGB spectrum, there is more red than green.
Yes, because it's brown.
Yeah, because it's brown.
And orange is brown. It's brown.
Okay, but what I was mentioning that I was confused by was the fact that, like, in Japan, like, the traffic lights, like, they use the same colors that we do, red, yellow, and green, but what they call that third one, they call it blue.
It's blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was confused
about. Because lots of cultures do not actually distinguish between blue and green.
Yeah. So that doesn't really explain this difference, right?
Also, some traffic lights are blue. Don't argue.
Why doesn't he have blue hair? I don't understand.
Red doesn't have red hair.
Yeah, red doesn't have red hair.
He wears a lot of red, though.
He should have red hair.
He doesn't.
I mean, green is wearing green, I guess.
Jeff. Mm-hmm. One day we're just going to watch Power Rangers, and I'm just going to laugh at how you can't tell the difference between the red and green Rangers.
It's probably true.
Especially when the red ranger gets the green ranger's armor.
So both of them, like, red wears red clothes and green wears green clothes. But then why does green get a Squirtle instead of a Bulbasaur?
Because it can kill Charmander.
But he should have been blue.
Can we kick Jeff, out of the Skype call if he started it?